This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, continuing in Psalm 105 and then Psalm 106. He remembered his holy promise. Both we and our fathers have sinned. They put God to the test. Moses stood in the breach and a snare to them. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Christ has appeared to us.
Oh, God, let us worship Him. Oh, God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing a joyful voice to the rock of our salvation. Let us run into His presence with thanksgiving.
Christ has appeared to us. A reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Give a seminary professor, more pointedly a Lutheran seminary professor, a text like this, and the sermon almost writes itself. Why? Because this is a text, in fact, the text, for establishing the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. So all I really have to do is start with today's reading, quickly mention the priesthood of the baptized, and then spend the next 10 minutes talking about the office of the ministry, which is what we really are interested in. Sermon done, and we didn't even need ChatGPT. It is noteworthy that the Lutheran confessions only use verses from this morning's text in two places. First, in the treatise, to argue that, quoting, these words apply to the true church, which certainly has the right to elect and ordain ministers, since it alone has the priesthood. And then second, in the formula of Concord, which affirms on the basis of 1 Peter 2:11, that there still remains also in the regenerate a rebelliousness, the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. And here, the formula picks up exactly what 1 Peter, one might argue, all of 1 Peter, is talking about. It is a stunningly stark picture of the continual war that faces each of us as Christians. And in the midst of the ongoing description of the outright battle that threatens to overwhelm us, this section of 1 Peter not only affirms the priesthood of the baptized, but, and in some ways, more importantly, directs us back to God's work for us in Christ for our comfort and assurance. How so? This way. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for His own possession. This text tells you and me who we are, not merely as an amalgamation of individuals, but as the people of God whom He has chosen. You are. You are what? Chosen. God called you, called, gathered, enlightened, sanctified you. And yes, you in both the singular and the plural. To be His own dear children and to live in, with, and under Him. All this He did purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you or me. That is to say, God has done all of this because of Christ. He has chosen you in Christ. He has brought you back to Himself through Christ. Already in 1 Peter 1, we hear that we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from the forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. For those of you who don't know the Bible so well, that's where Luther found the section that he then produced in the Catechism, the second article of the Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. He did this not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him as his priest, I might add, in everlasting righteousness and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Or as 1 Peter 3:18 puts it, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. God's work for you. And we know why God had to do this. Once you were not a people. Humanity, each of us individually included, had utterly destroyed the relationship that God had established with us. Yes, the devil tempts us constantly. 1 Peter 5:8, you know it well. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone, namely you, to devour. And the world is always there. Just take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. But the bigger problem is ourselves. And that is the focus of verses 11 and 12. Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. If we weren't such a sinful mess, the devil and the world wouldn't be such a big issue for us. But the problem begins at home. You were not a people. All of which simply underscores the grace and mercy of God in Christ, making you a people, choosing you as his own dear child, forgiving your sins through the shed blood of Christ, and calling you to be a priest in his kingdom through holy baptism. And to beat the dead horse once more, God did this purely by grace. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day he will raise up me and all the dead and will give us eternal life to me and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And for all of this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey him. Now, maybe that sounds a little legalistic to some ears, but not so much when you move to the rest of the verse we've been looking at. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Put a little differently, the true priestly office is to confess Christ and to share the good news of redemption through his suffering, death, and resurrection. It really is that simple. And that's why Peter wrote this epistle to people, God's people, who were struggling to live faithfully in a fallen world, who were struggling to avoid the constant call of the devil, the world, and especially of their own sinful flesh. Through Peter, God called them back to who they are in Christ by God's grace. And our gracious Lord is calling us to the same today. You were that. You are this. You were not a people. You are now God's people. You were bound to sin. You are now free in Christ. You had no identity. You are now God's own child, baptized into Christ. You are God's priest to proclaim the wonders of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh,
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a daughter, Miriam, to Vicar Wesley and Sharon Dice. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the life of this child, Miriam, entrusted to our care. Keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow and lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.